We now come to a very pleasant part of our service this evening when we seek to administer the sacrament of baptism. I want to read one verse from Acts chapter 2 and from verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, we are familiar with these words and with the occasion. It is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he had clearly outlined that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah. And he did not beat about the bush. He made it clear that they had sinned when they had rejected Christ and crucified him. And he made it clear that he was indeed the Messiah. And their sin was clearly laid before them. But then he applied the gospel to them. He told them that they were to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. We're going to administer the sacrament of baptism in a few moments, but I want to speak about what is Christian baptism. Our catechism gives us a good answer, and the congregation will remember this because we looked at it last Lord's Day. A sacrament is an holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. The word sacrament comes from a Latin word, and it is used when soldiers take the oath of allegiance to a commander or to a regiment or to an army. And it shows their commitment to the cause. And in the Christian sense, it shows the commitment of the believer to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sacrament of baptism, along with the other sacrament, is really gospel preaching in pictures. That's what it means by sensible signs. The sign here particularly is water. There is nothing special in this water whatsoever. But the water signifies washing. We use water to wash our faces and our hands and our bodies and our clothes, and it will clean these things. But we need something else to take away our sins. No amount of water will take away our sins. But this water is symbolizing the Lord Jesus Christ and the great work that he has done. It is symbolizing a regeneration and the washing away of our sins in our souls. That's what it's symbolizing. And therefore, when we look at this water, when we see it being sprinkled upon an individual, it is to point to us that Christ alone can take away our sins, because he's the one who has suffered and died in the room and place of sinners. And there, in the sacrament, these things are represented to us. They are before us, before our very eyes. And the benefits of the covenant of grace, which Jesus Christ has secured for his people, are sealed and applied to believers. Therefore, they truly are a means of grace for the believer. That's what Christian baptism is. It signifies a relationship to Christ. It signifies our union with Christ. And we are united to Christ That moment when we truly believe upon him, we are united with him forever. And as a result of that union, we have purification. We have the washing away of our sins, the cleansing of our souls, and that is symbolized by the water. But because of this union that's signified here, it implies submission on behalf of the believer and obedience to the command of Christ. This sacrament also obviously has an application to the individual who is receiving baptism, because it would tell that person that they are to be obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They are to be submissive unto him and to his claims and to his commands, and they are to be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it implies faith in Christ and in what he has done on Calvary's tree. And it also implies repentance towards God. Faith in Christ and repentance towards God. And therefore, it includes a confession of Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior. But it also has an application and an effect upon the church and upon a congregation. Because what we are doing here when we baptize an individual who has come to profess faith in the Lord Jesus, we are admitting them into the fellowship of the visible Christian church. We are not making them Christians. Baptism doesn't make anyone a Christian. It simply acknowledges that that person has professed faith in the Lord Jesus. Only God can make Christians. But when we do this sacrament under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are admitting someone into the fellowship of the visible Christian church. Because we are saying, we acknowledge there are marks of grace in this individual, and as far as we can ascertain, it is clear and evident that they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, there is a responsibility upon the congregation, because you become obligated to the one baptized to pray for them, to uphold them, to counsel and admonish them if required, and even if necessary, to discipline them. This is what is required of the congregation. Before we go to administer the sacrament, let us pray. Almighty and ever blessed God, we bless thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for his unique work that he has done, that he alone could do. And we bless thee for his coming into this world and undertaking everything that was required in order to purchase a salvation for his people, in order that he might save them to the uttermost. And, O Lord, we bless thee for this opportunity that we have this evening to acknowledge what Christ has done. And, O, we do pray that as we administer the sacrament, Lord, that this might speak unto those who have professed faith and to those who have yet to profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would see the gospel clearly portrayed for them in pictures, so that they can understand that only by Christ is one cleansed. So be with us, we ask, and we do pray that all things would be done for thy glory, and that it would please thee to presence thyself with us. Hear our prayers. Look upon us in mercy. Remember that we are but dust, and all we ask is in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I would now like to ask if Janet Dickey would come forward and for the congregation to stand. I'm going to ask one or two questions and you'll be asked to reply appropriately. I have three questions, the vows they are called. Firstly, do you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as revealed in the Old and New Testaments?
I do.
Do you profess faith in God the Father as your Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your Sanctifier?
I do.
Do you promise to make a diligent use of the means of grace to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
Well, having answered these vows satisfactorily, we shall now proceed to the baptism. You need to take your covering off, please. Just come a bit closer, please. Janet Dickey, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Almighty and ever blessed God, we thank thee again for thy servant here, who has been given grace to be able to publicly profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. We bless thee for the wonders of thy grace. And O Lord, we do remember her as she seeks to make her way in this life, as she seeks to take up her cross daily, to deny herself and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that thou would give her grace, that thou would give her strength, that thou would give her patience, that thou would give her sound judgment and discretion and understanding, that thou would lead her in every way, that thou would be her our wisdom, and that she might know thy presence. Thou hast said in thy word, never will I leave thee nor forsake thee. And, O Lord, we bless thee that thou art a faithful and a covenant-keeping God. So remember her, remember her family, remember her friends. And, O Lord, we do pray that as each day passes, that she might know thy grace and that she might hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that she might not only know what Christ has done for her, but she might be aware of the Holy Spirit working in her. So hear our prayers, we ask. Thank thee again for this time, this privilege, and this opportunity. Now follow with thy blessing, we ask, and all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let me welcome you to the fellowship. God bless.
Thank you.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You can sit down. Please be seated. Mr. Craig's writing's not too clear and my eyesight's not so good, but it looks like Psalm 50.
Four.
Oh.
40.
Okay. Right. That's not only my eyesight. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 5. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. Let us sing then Psalm 40, verses 1 to the double verse mark 5. I waited for the Lord my God.
I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to him. He took me from a fearful bed and from the mire done, thy gracious thought.
stand for the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Our intimations are as follows. We give thanks to Mr. Craig for his ministry among us tonight, and we seek his the Lord's blessing upon his ministry and ear. The service tomorrow night will be taken by the Reverend John MacLeod, retired from Duthill Doors, and will begin at 7 p.m. Tomorrow night. The Kirk session is constituted, and if there are any persons associated with the congregation,